Pauper's Gold by Margaret Dickinson. Read by Anne Dover. Chapter 1, May 1854.
We'll get rid of her. That girl's been nothing but trouble since she came in here.
Cedric Goodbody belied his name, for there was nothing good about the man. He was thin and wiry, with a rat-like face. His grey eyes, sharp and piercing, missed nothing. His frown deepened.
If I'd known what I know now, I'd never have admitted her or her mother. The woman had the gall to refuse to pick oakum on the grounds that she's a silk worker and the rough work might injure her hands.
He drummed his fingers impatiently on the desk in front of him. The room around him was cluttered with files and ledgers. Papers were strewn over the surface of his desk and piled in untidy heaps on the floor. He was sitting in the only chair in the room. Any visitor, even his wife Matilda, was obliged to stand. Hands folded in front of her, she was facing him now across his desk. She was no better than her husband. Thin and gaunt, with a waspish tongue, she took a malicious delight in the misfortunes of others. Together, as master and matron, they ran the Macclesfield workhouse, just within the rules laid down by the Board of Guardians, and outside them, if they were sure they would not be found out.
The girl's got spirit, Matilda admitted grudgingly. I'll give her that. Nothing seems to depress her for long.
Can't you try punishing her? I'm sure you can find a reason, Cedric growled. She's too pretty for her own good, that long blonde hair and those bright blue eyes.
My word, Cedric, I've never known you to be so observant.
Matilda pursed her mouth. Cedric ignored her sarcasm.
But it's her singing all the time that gets on my nerves. I can't abide cheerful inmates. In all my years running workhouses, I've never known an inmate to sing.
Matilda shrugged.
There's no stopping her, even when she's locked in the punishment room on bread and water.
Cedric smiled cruelly.
Well, I've an idea that'll put a stop to it.
Critchlow sent word he wants four more paupers. She can be one of them.
Matilda raised her eyebrows.
Is he still managing to keep that system going? I thought all the cotton mills had given up having pauper apprentices.
Most of them have. With all the new laws about the employment of children, it was becoming uneconomic. But not for the Critchlows. Tucked away in that Derbyshire dale, they don't get many visits from the authorities. They just ignore any law that doesn't suit them. I'm just thankful they have carried it on. They've always been fair in their dealings with me.
He cast her a shrewd glance. He'd never actually told his wife about the money he received from the Critchlows in exchange for a steady supply of strong, healthy orphans to work long hours in their cotton mill. But he was sure she had guessed. It seemed she had, for,
"You want to mind the board, don't find out,"
was her tart reply.
"They won't, as long as you don't tell 'em."
His eyes narrowed.
"There's only you and me know about it, so watch that tongue of yours, woman."
"But I thought Nathaniel Critchlow..."
"Oh, Nathaniel," Cedric was scathing. "I don't deal with him any more. He's getting past it, going soft in his old age. No, it's Edmund, his son, I need to keep in with."
"Will you be sending him a barrel of trouble with that girl? Besides, I don't reckon the mother will let you send young Hannah all the way into Derbyshire."
Matilda smirked.
"Whatever fine tales you tell her about how wonderfully her daughter'll be looked after and taught a trade that'll be the making of her."
"The mother'll have nothing to do with it, if I say the girl goes."
Cedric banged his clenched fist on the desk, and papers fluttered to the floor.
"Then she goes. She's young and strong, just the sort Critchlow wants."